Well, good morning and happy almost new year. It's such a gift to be with you all, and so many of you are here. Aren't you exhausted? Thank you for coming. This is the liminal time between Christmas and the new year. The baby Jesus is still sleeping in the manger, and the wise men haven't shown up yet. No one knows how this infant's life will unfold. Speaking of how life unfolds, how many years have you written or spoken New Year's resolutions? And how has that worked out for you? It seems about a decade ago, when we had enough of resolutions, the language morphed and we were asked for our intentions for the new year. It's a strategy, and it may have worked a bit better, especially if it meant you weren't so hard on yourself when the intention either wasn't completely fulfilled or just seemed to fade away in the busyness of our beautiful, messy lives. But this year, I don't want to talk about resolutions, and I don't want to talk about intentions. This year, I want to talk about giving over resolutions and intentions to grace. A caveat. I speak as a student of grace, nowhere close to an expert. Grace has been my winter's contemplation so far, the what, the how, the why, the when. So these words are definitely an exploration and a way to gain insight from our collective wisdom. Because grace is hard to define and it's hard to pin down. It's often posed as a positive moment or event. We might name grace when we get something we want, or bask in a beautiful sunset, or as in there but for the grace of God, we might give thanks for the challenges that skipped over us. Grace in Christianity carries the idea of the divine one bestowing a gift or a favor or giving us something we do not deserve. In Eastern spiritual traditions, it's not really about deserving or not deserving. It's more about blessing. In Sanskrit, anugraha is the term that carries connotations of divine grace, often associated with good fortune or benevolence. I prefer to think, in essence, that grace is that which has the capacity to open our doors of perception. That's an Aldous Huxley phrase, doors of perception, on a completely different subject. But it works. Grace shows us into a larger life than the one we usually inhabit. Grace is that which offers us the direct experience of divine presence. It's something that reconnects us to the source of real love, joy, clarity, and peace. Grace resolves the sense of separation by returning us to the felt experience to what we have always been a part of. Grace seems to come more easily to us, at least to me, when I'm willing to entertain the possibility that I can't do it myself. It's more available when we admit we don't know everything we pretend to know, or when we reach the inevitable conclusion that we can't live our best lives without help. We all have certain ideas of how we want grace to appear for us. It could be a beautiful moment in nature, or spending time with someone we love, or just sitting quietly in stillness, when, for some unknown reason, a whole new perspective opens up and we find ourselves filled with awe and wonder, with a glimpse of the absolute perfection of that moment. But at other times, grace comes with a fierce face. It might be hard to recognize in the moment, but as we think back on these powerful times, we may be able to see the great gift inherent in the hard times, too. A great example in my life has been Ram Dass, who died this month in 2019. And he had a stroke in 1997 at the age of 66, which now to me seems really young, that left him with expressive aphasia, or the inability to speak clearly. For over 20 years, this brilliant, quick-witted, and very verbal teacher had a hard time talking. He eventually wrote a book called Fierce Grace that described his experience. And that's what he termed his stroke. He said that, yes, he spent a few years railing against God and his fate, but he came eventually to understand how the stroke, too, was grace. He called it exactly the divine intervention he needed for spiritual evolvement. The great teachers of all traditions teach that the good moments in life are grace, the difficult moments in life are grace, the confusing moments are grace, the sad moments are grace. Grace is all around us if only we have the heart to see it. When we begin, at least hypothetically, to consider grace is in every situation, no matter how pleasant or difficult we might perceive it, we can actually begin to relax a little. And as we relax, we might begin to notice that there's something else going on besides the story our mind is telling us. The opinions, the judgments, the endless story. The never-ending story, I should say, yeah. That our every experience occurs within a vast space of peace, stillness, and ultimate well-being. For me, the aha of grace is when I remember that what I have always yearned for, that love, that connection, is the very thing I'm swimming in. As the Persian poet Kabir wrote, "I laugh when I hear that the fish in the sea are thirsty." Are you thirsty for the divine, the sacred, the clear light of awakening? All around you, the world is wet with it. It's one thing to have a conceptual understanding of grace, quite another to live with the intimate awareness that we are swimming in it, inhaling and exhaling grace in every breath. So at the end of the year, I like to look back and contemplate how grace has showed up in my life. Can I remember one experience, one aha moment, one conversation that showed me tender grace, fierce grace, clarifying grace? So that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to ask you to turn to a neighbor, if you so choose, and spend just a few minutes seeing if you can find those moments of grace for you in this past year. So I think on the screen, maybe, tender grace, fierce grace, and clarifying grace. And I'm asking one person to speak first, and I'll ring a bell when it's time to switch, and then I'll ring a bell when it's time to end. Go for it. Carrie means business. Thank you. As you shared, what did you notice about those moments of grace? Was there a quality of feeling held by something larger than yourself? When the mind is touched by something larger than its ability to understand, when the heart is moved by something deeper than emotion, when the impulse to speak is stirred by the presence of something that cannot be named. In such moments, we are made aware of a unity that is always present, but seldom felt, seldom known. Mark Nepo said that with grace, we enter the sanctity of our being in the simplest moments. He says, it makes us realize how precious and irreplaceable the simple things are. It changes how we move through the thousand tasks that lie before us. We could name grace as the unnameable presence that lives under all we do or aspire to. Grace right-sizes us. It gives us some much-needed humility. It offers us the perspective that us two-footed ones are a part of something so much vaster and more powerful than our single self. And with this perspective, it becomes easier to ask for help, not out of powerlessness or resignation, but from a grateful relief that there is something that's not really a thing available to help. Asking for help, whether I'm asking God, spirit, soul, source, cosmos, nature, asking brings us into relationship with that which is more than us. And probably like many, I most often first ask for what I prefer to have happen. Please, God, I have said, please help me find my car keys. But eventually, if you keep asking, you might begin, or I might begin, to hear what the divine wants of me and try to do that. And occasionally, with an awareness of grace, I can notice how the divine is working through me without having asked for help at all. I have a British friend, a new British friend, his father, an Anglican priest, who couldn't identify with the prayers he learned as a kid. He is brilliant, funny, and irreverent, and his prayers, when he finally started writing his own, are that way too. His prayers ask to be helped to a recognition of grace in such a down-to-earth way, they allow me to see grace as something we can open to, something we can meet, something we can know. So here's an example. O cosmic chief of messy humans, here I am, a walking bundle of nerves and neuroses holding a parade for all my triggered parts. They're out here with their tiny protest signs, he's unworthy, nobody loves me. Adorable, really. But also exhausting. So here's my prayer. Help me stop judging these messy, grumpy gremlins. Instead, let me hold them like an overqualified babysitter, calm, mildly amused, and ready with snacks. I'm asking for strength, not the bench press the universe kind, but the kind that can sit still with while the internal drama unfolds. Also, can you throw in a pinch of humor? Help me laugh at my inner soap operas instead of submitting them for an Emmy. Let me notice when I'm spiraling and say, oh honey, not this episode again. Let's binge watch something lighter. And when I forget all this, which I will, send me a cosmic nudge, preferably with snacks. Amen. Okay, one more, just so you know, you can write your own prayers like this. Okay, divine, whatever you are. Here I am once again bumping into the latest obstacles like it's some kind of prank you dreamed up. Honestly, could you not for like 5 minutes? No? Fine. So apparently all this darkness and chaos, this absolute hot mess express I'm writing is just grace? Just light that's too tangled up to shine yet? Okay. Help me see the mess for what it is. Light in drag. Love doing its best impression of a monster under the bed. Show me how to untangle it, to unwind the knot, and let grace radiate like the sneaky little gift it's pretending not to be. Or, if I'm being honest, just give me the patience to not throw glitter at it and pretend it's all fine. In the meantime, I surrender. Not because I'm enlightened or wise, but because, frankly, I'm too tired to fight you anymore. So here I am, arms flailing, muttering, take the wheel like the frazzled human I am. Please, pry my hands from the wheel. Amen. It's so seductive for us to make grace happen, to create resolutions to see more grace in our life, or create the intention to be grace prone. But the point is, grace is a gift. We can ask for the gift we want, but then we have to let go and see what, if anything, we receive. And to wonder if, even when we feel we have received nothing, whether this too might be the grace we need in the moment. So, a blessing for the new year. Without the striving of resolution, without the should of intention, may we love fearlessly, live exuberantly, and live gracefully. May we be reminded to take our hands off the wheel and simply be who we are in all of our fumbling, imperfectly perfect humanness. And in doing so, may this one heart that we all are soothe and balance all beings everywhere. And so it is, and amen.